Welcome back, everybody. I hope everybody had a very meaningful Chag, and we are at the halfway point in Hilchot Teshuvah of the Rambam. There are 10 chapters, and we are at the beginning of chapter 5. And amazingly, we're right at the bottom of this first page, page 21. Amazingly, at this point, the Rambam seems to change the topic. Rather than speaking about Teshuvah, he goes into speaking about free will. And before we talk about what is this doing here, let's just get a sense of the halachot, of the content of it. So, Rashut l'kol adam nutuna, says the Rambam, Rashut, choice, free will, is given to every man, every person. Im ratza lehatot atzmo lederech tova, if he wants to direct himself down a good path, for lihyot tzadik, and to be righteous, harushut biyado, the netiya, sort of like to direct himself, yeah. Acharei rabim lehatot, incline after the majority. Hitchilu kotle bet midrash lintot, the walls of the bet midrash began to...
Right.
Incline, yeah, to direct himself down. You're right. It's an interesting word. Yeah, I think of it is, I mean, your engineer's mind will conceptualize this better than I will. But you know, it's not about necessarily moving yourself dramatically from one position to another. It's about just changing the direction slightly, which, when you get further down the path, you'll then be in a different endpoint than you would have been.
To do with the nature of free will a little bit.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You wanna expound on that?
Right, because I don't think, well, it gets into a much bigger discussion, but I don't think free will is, like, necessarily free in the freest sense. Like, you have the boundaries of your own, where you're born, your personality, your education. So, Toth is saying that even though you have your own boundaries, you still have the will to sort of veer it, you know, like, guide it to a certain way.
Right, right.
That's what he's trying to say.
Do people remember what the Rambam's definition of a tzaddik is?
More
5149, exactly, right, in Perek Gimel, which we saw last week, of Hilchot Shuvah, the Rambam defines a tzaddik as somebody who has just got slightly more merits than faults, a rasha as somebody who's got slightly more faults than merits, and we all need to think of ourselves as beinonim, as exquisitely finely balanced between faults and merits. So it's not that you've got maybe going back to Jonathan's point, it's not that you've got the potential to be the best, the greatest person of all time, perhaps you do, but in the Rambam sort of minimalist sense of what a tzaddik is, we have this choice. V'im ratza, he carries on, lahatot atzmo, and if he wants to direct himself, the derech ra'a, to a much more negative path, v'lihyot rasha, to be a rasha, 49:51, harashut biyado, again, a person has the choice. And now, I always found this fascinating, of all the psukim for the Rambam to quote, in order to bring out this point, husha katuv b'Torah, this is what is written in the Torah, hen ha'adam haya ke'echad mimenu, behold, the man is like one of us, ladat tov v'ra, to know good and evil. Where is that pasuk from? Where in Bereshit? Very good. Which pasuk, Jackie? You're a genius, Jackie. Where are we in that story? Very, very good. Somebody? Yeah. Right after. After the eating of the forbidden fruit, right, when the whole of Gan Eden seems to collapse, and which is generally conceived of as, you know, a moment of disaster in the relationship between man and God. And God says at that moment, now that Adam has eaten of this fruit, he is like one of us to know the difference between good and evil. Kolomar, which is to say, carries on the Rambam, hen minzer, that this species shel Adam, of mankind, yachid ba'olam, is unique in the world, ve'ein min sheni domelo, no other species is comparable, b'zeh ha'inyan, in this matter, shehehu ba'atzmo b'da'ato b'machashavato, in his consciousness and his thought, yodea hatov v'hara, knows that which is good and that which is evil. When an animal kills, that's not considered evil, it's considered its nature. We are able to discern between good and bad. A man can do what he desires. And none will stop him from doing good or evil. Fascinating, right? There are all the sources for the Rambam to choose. It's Gan Eden. Rabbi Sarn, have you got any thoughts about Gun Eden and the seemingly such a negative story as being the source for human free will?
Many thoughts on it. I'll leave it to you.
what a cheat. All I will say is that even though, and admittedly other religions emphasize this much more than Judaism, that Gan Eden is a disaster, but nevertheless we still have phrases such as Chadesh Yameinu Kakedem, renew our days as of old, which seems to refer to returning to Gan Eden. Nevertheless, what the Rambam is doing is to say that one of at least a certain part of what changes after the original sin is not something that's negative. On the contrary, it becomes the core of man. It becomes to be the very heart of what it means to be human, to be able to distinguish between good and good and bad.
The Rambam, so his problem is the problem that the Rambam has that the only humankind only gets there through sin. But I think the Rambam's scheme has it that Adam and Chava, one way or another, would have achieved da'at. Their problem is that the route that they took was through sin, but there could have been other routes for them.
Right.
That was the plan for them to achieve, you know, decision-making otherwise.
Right, right. Which is, if I remember correctly, the beginning of Moreh Nevuchim. Ayin Sham.
What,
yes.
What do you mean by achieve da'at? Like understanding of full Torah or something?
Yes,
like that?
That's right. So, ultimately, there would have been a God's plan was for them to have it in another way, but they kind of went the wrong. They got to the same destination, but the means, the route, was the wrong route.
Okay.
Meaning the idea was not to have these.
Why would you say that God was planning on having mankind get to that point?
Well, for the Rambam...
Like, why couldn't it just be that they were in this primitive state the whole time where they were just, you know, like, just a little bit more sophisticated animals?
Because for the Rambam, that's the end. The whole point... the whole point of life is for a person to have, for their mind to be developed to the point where their mind merges with the active intellect, which the Rambam is... One way the Rambam understands what God is, inasmuch as you can't speak affirmatively about God, you know, but it's the act of intellect. And the purpose of many of the mitzvot is also to refine a person's mind. And there's a the line between Talmud Torah and philosophy, for example, is not really a fine line. Sometimes that line doesn't even exist. For the Rambam, such a core part of the purpose of humankind is one's mind to develop and to become activated fully, and therefore the idea of these, you know, automatons, you know,
what are
I just mean like people acting based on instinct, even that instinct is positive, is I wouldn't say meaningless, but it just doesn't mean a whole lot. It's very thin.
I was going to say that before you were mentioning like why would free will be included in this portion, so I feel like this pasuk actually connects it all together because this is from like the first sin, so it kind of like you would want to bring an example of where there was sin because that's where the opportunity arises.
But it's an interesting nuance on it because it's surprising because it's not the Rambam saying this was the original sin and therefore this is sort of the original thing which we're trying to undo in the whole process of undoing all of our sins. This is that which actually gives us the free will. Now, what is the connection between free will and teshuvah? We'll get to in a moment.
But I think it's fair to say that this is actually very controversial, meaning if you were to say, well, we have a choice, would you prefer to have a humanity that has the capacity to choose between good and evil and will often end up choosing evil, or between a humanity which is all good but doesn't have the choice?
And there's no meaning.
For the Rambam, the Rambam would opt for the first path, but many others would opt for the second.
At the risk of this becoming a massive...
Would it rather just be like... So you're saying that like Christianity and other places, like they think the ideal is just a place where everything is simple.
So it's just the difference in this and Christianity, whereas Christianity sees knowledge as a fall from grace, right? We were in a perfected state beforehand, and now we're fallen. We're all fallen. We're all
because
we're born in sin.
Learn,
we're born in
understand.
Sin, right? For the Rambam, no. When it says, "Hein adam," what is it? "Hein adam tovara." Now we're up.
Huh.
Now we become who we need to become.
Cool.
The path there wasn't the right path, but now this is the completion of day six.
I see.
This is what we're trying to become. So that way, it's the opposite of Christianity.
That's powerful.
Okay. Though there are many Jewish thinkers who think similarly, they're not Christian, obviously, but they have a similar perceptionas what Gan Eden was. They see this as a big fall.
Right, not
right.
To minimize.
Sorry for.
No, on the contrary, on the contrary. Thank you. Halacha bet. The Rambam responds to those who think otherwise. Al yavor b'machshavatcha davar zeh. Don't let this thought cross your mind. Zeh she'omrim tipshei umot ha'olam, or the idiots of the world say, and also some within Israel, she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu gozer al ha'adam mitchilat b'riyato.
Not just some within Israel. Berov gomei b'nei Yisrael.
What a teacher of mine once said was, in fact, even a teacher Rabbi Sarnas once said, Rav Asaf Bednash, was that we often, because the Rambam was so successful in his projects of what he wanted to do to Judaism, we frequently don't realize today just how radical he was at the time and how many of the, what were mainstream positions, he was really taking a sledgehammer to. So what he characterizes even as the majority position within Israel. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gozer al ha'adam mitchilat b'riyato, that God decrees for a person from the beginning of their lifetime, lihyot tzadik or rasha, to be righteous or wicked, right? And John, perhaps this is going against what you said right at the start. Ein hadavar ken, the matter is not like this, ela kol adam yachol lihyot tzadik ka Moshe Rabbeinu, or rasha ki Yerovam. Right?
He doesn't say you could be Moshe Rabbeinu or Yerovam.
Okay.
This is not my
idea. The old culture.
You know,
But the Rambam has given us a definition of tzaddik and rasha very different from this until now. 51-49.
But it could be Moshe Rabbeinu.
Well, Moshe Rabbeinu was born, lived, and died, so no one else is going to be here.
Right, exactly.
Right,
so you could be like Moshe Rabbeinu when you're
like Moshe.
But that Moshe Rabbeinu. Being like Moshe Rabbeinu would be good enough for me,
right?
I mean, I think it's not. I think it is a more significant statement than saying you could be the best that you could be. Ve'lo mishiachpeu, nobody is going to force him, ve'lo gozer alav, not decree against him, ve'lo mishi moshcho le'achav mishnei darachim, no one's going to drag him down one path or another. Ela hu me'atzmo u'me'da'ato, each individual on their own thought, noteh le'ez ha'derech shiyotzeh, directs themselves down one path or another, the one that they choose. He quotes verses from Yirmiyahu, and then Halacha Gimel, but davar ze ikar gadol hu. This is one of the greatest principles we have. Hu amud haTorah v'hamitzvah, the pillar of Torah and mitzvot. Shneemar, as I said, quotes Pesukim from last week's parasha. Re'ei natati lefanecha tayom et haChayim v'et haTov. I've given you today before you life and good, vet hamavet vet hara, and death and bad. The ketiv rein achinu telefnei hayom brachah uklala. You can choose, klamah harashut biyadchem, the choice is in your hands. Which do you choose to do? And so at this point, maybe let's ask the question of why on earth is this situated here? Why, not even in Hilchot Teshuvah, but halfway through Hilchot Teshuvah, does the Rambam choose to put what he has just described as this ikar gadol, this great principle? In theory, I would have thought it would merit its own halachot, hilchot bechira chofshit, or it would be put in Yisodei HaTorah, or possibly Talmud Torah, or Deot, the early chapters of Sefer Hamada. He waits until here to put it in. Ellie?
I can't exactly speak to why it's in the middle, because I'm not so familiar with the context necessarily, but like I would say that the risk of like having a model where free will is not at the center is that you become desensitized to responsibility of your actions. So,
right.
So Rambam emphasizes here maybe the idea that you need to, if you have free will, then that means you're responsible for everything that you do, and that you always have a chance. First of all, always you should tap into that fact that like you have responsibility for your actions, and B, that you always have a chance to then combat the sins that you're doing and come back and get next time around.
Right. It doesn't allow you to wipe off various actions by saying, oh, I didn't really have, I've got to take responsibility. Yep, I hear that. As to why it's placed in the middle, we'll get to this when we get to chapter 7, a reading of Rav Soloveitchik that really distinguishes what comes before chapter 5 to what comes after chapter 5, and all depending on the linchpin of chapter 5 as Teshuvah pre-Cherut, before freedom, Teshuvah afterwards. But I just want to finish with an idea, and people are hearing me quote him a lot because I guess I'm reading a lot of him at the moment, an idea of Rav Shagar on this idea, which blew my mind. For those of you who were here at the start, you'll remember that the great question on chapter 1 of Hilchot Teshuvah is, does the Rambam think that Teshuvah is a mitzvah? Because when you take a simple reading of it, it seems that what he calls the mitzvah, and what he says we're obligated to do, is the vidui, the verbal confession. He uses a funny phrase, kashiya'aseh teshuvah, when a person does teshuvah, then chayav lihitvadot, he's got an obligation to do a vidui. But he doesn't seem to describe teshuvah itself using a language of commandments. So we saw the answer of the Minchat Chinuch, which said, yeah, indeed, teshuvah is not a mitzvah. You can do it if you want, you don't have to do it if you don't want. We saw the answer of Rav Soloveitchik that distinguished between the external component, which is the vidui, the confession, and the internal component, which is the teshuvah. Rav Shagar's answer is by far the simplest, and in some ways the most profound, and it is just simply one line in Hebrew, "I efshar l'tzavot al ha'chirut." It's impossible to command a person to be free. In other words, what is Teshuvah? Teshuvah is the free choice, the free will, which we all have, to put yourself into the system. In other words, we are talking about this idea of a relationship with God which brings with it responsibilities and obligations and prohibitions. But what in the first place puts me into that relationship? What makes me a part of the Brit, a part of the covenant? And says the Rambam, says Rav Shagar, the only thing that can put us into that is our own free will, our own free choice to be Meshuabad, to see ourselves as commanded by the Torah. And Teshuvah is the movement that puts us into that. So of course you can't command Teshuvah, because you require a step prior to any commandments to say, I'm going to be a person who is commanded. I'm going to be a person who is mitzvah. I'm going to be a person who is in a relationship with God. But that can't be commanded from the outside. If you don't accept that first moment, that has to depend completely on free will, of putting yourself into a relationship with God, then whether you're commanded or not commanded, that is meaningless. Does that idea make sense? Is that?
It seems to be in tension with the Midrash.
Go on.
RCI.
Kafa Alehim?
Yeah. And, where God picked up the Arsinai and put it over Bnei Israel and said, accept the Torah.
So had no free will.
Yeah, basically it wasn't a choice of free will for them to accept the Torah.
But then that Gemara then finishes in a different direction, that they then accepted it through the days of Achashverosh. There's lots to think about with what that Gemara means, and is there an element of compulsion? I'll just read the Hebrew and translate it. He talks about Soloveitchik and his answer. He says, "Niresha tshuva pshuta b'harbet." It seems that the answer to the question of does the Rambam think that tshuva is a mitzvah is much simpler. "I efshar l'tzavot al ha'chirut." You can't command about freedom. "Shehari kol inyana haynu chofesh v'hachra'a," because its whole point is a free will and a hachra'a, autonomous decision. "Mitoch b'chira v'hakara chofshit," from a free will recognition. "Nitan letzavot rak al smach hitchayvut kodemet." A command can only be given on the basis of a prior obligation, of a prior hitchayvut, a prior obligating of oneself. "Ach lo al etzem hitchayvut," but you can't command that a person be commanded. right, and be a person who is obligated. What is teshuvah? Teshuvah equals free will. The two are, in a sense, synonymous with one another, and it is the free will of a person to choose to put themselves into that relationship with the Torah and with Hashem. And so that answers the question in chapter 1, why does the Rambam not call teshuvah a mitzvah? And it answers the question of why place at the very heart of Hilchot Teshuvah b'chira chofshit, because not only is it a pillar of the whole Torah, as the Rambam has said, but it is the very essence and completely inseparable from what Teshuvah is. Have a good fast.
What's for breakfast?
What's for breakfast? This is our room. So Avi said, or maybe it was Michael Lefkowitz, said a line that I didn't know how brilliant it was. Said not only he said this is breakfast, this is man, right? It tastes like whatever you want it to taste like, right? So not knowing how relevant that would be to the topic of the fast. Shakar, everybody.